Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Alicia Shanice Reviews. I am your host, it's your girl Shanice coming back at you with another podcast. We are on episode 315 and today's topic is BMF episode 309. It's called Death Trap. The description reads, Meech and Terry travel to Miami to meet with a mechanic known as Francois. Despite interference, the brothers are determined to accomplish their American dream. So y'all already know how we do. We about to get into it, break it down, dissect it scene by scene like we do over here on this platform. After that, I will play the trailer for next week's episode. Actually, it won't be next week's episode. It's going to be the next episode, but it'll be airing on May the 10th. So instead of how they do the 1 week skip in the middle of the season, they decided to switch it up and put it right before the season finale. So BMF has never had any problems. Let's just hope it's not like the Powers, and we get a leak. Because you guys know I don't support leaks. It takes a lot of time to go into making these shows, editing, filming, writing. I hate when people do that. They leak it, they spoil it. So I'm hoping that we don't get a leak, but if we do, I will not be supporting it. I'm going to be recapping it the weekend of May the 10th. So I did just drop the final chapter of the Tale of the Park Hill Crew, written by me, last Sunday. So we're done with volume one. So you guys have time to catch up on that now. All 12 chapters are out. They came out every Sunday. So you got plenty of time to catch up because some chapters were really long and the podcast was like maybe 2 to 3 hours. So I got plenty of content out there because I'm going to be taking a week off from the podcast by we're doing the power break. I'll only come on if you guys have any special recap requests. I may come on for a 90s segment throwback, but it'll be probably, if anything, it'll be next Sunday or Monday because I'm going to take a week off. I have a few things to do this week. So letting you guys know a heads up, I'll be taking a week off from the podcast. I do plan on my next podcast being on the weekend of the 10th for BMF season finale. But if you do have any recap requests, just email them to me and I'll jump on the mic and, you know, get those out for you guys, of course. So don't forget to check out the book, the readings. The audiobook version is directly on a podcast specifically for you guys. And if you know anybody who's into, you know, hood tales and urban tales and fictional tales, share, share, share. Tell people. Tell a friend and tell a friend and tell a friend. Let's get the word out there for the Tale of the Park Hill Crew because Volume 2 will be released. My plan, if it's in God's will, to have it released by the end of September. If you have any recap requests, if you have any businesses, music, or anything that you're working on that I can help with or shout out or just support in any type of way, make sure you guys hit me up and let me know. My email is aliciashanicereviews13@gmail.com. I still have a few more books to give away. So if you know anybody who's in need of a book and who might enjoy the Tale of the Park Hill Crew and they're currently incarcerated only, email me their information. I'll need their inmate number, address, and I'll get a book shipped to them directly from Amazon. But that information has to be emailed for me. But if you have anything else like business, brands, recap requests, you can hit me up by email or Facebook or Instagram on Messenger or DM. Everything is in the description box for the links and how to get in touch with me. Facebook is Alicia Shanice, Instagram Alicia Shanice Reviews. And then you guys know to follow me on Spotify. It helps me out. And then also follow my music playlist. They're all under Shanice Loves. That's on Spotify. And I got every genre because you got some long range music ears. But on that note, let's go ahead and get into the show and talk BMF. I just wanted to share all of those details with you that I will be taking a week off from the podcast. The season finale of BMF returns May the 10th. Tale of the Park Hill Crew audio book is completely out. So make sure you guys check that out and tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. We got to get the word out there. Volume 2 will be out in September, Lord's will. And you guys always know you can get in touch with me. Facebook, DM, email, even if it's just to say what's up. That is more than cool too. So on that note, let's get into the show and let's talk BMF.
I need is one mic. That's all I need. All I need is one mic. All I need, niggas. All I need is one mic. Yeah.
Hey, y'all. It's your girl, Shanice. Dropping in really quick to remind you to protect your energy and stay away from anybody who is an enemy to your energy. And how is the best way to do that? Why not take you a vacation? And you know your girl Shanice got y'all. Why don't you get with your favorite travel agent, TB Booked It? The world is a beautiful place. Let TB Booked It go ahead and help you discover it. You can find them on Instagram at TB Booked It, or send them an email directly at tbbookedit@gmail.com. And they got all of the reasonable deals, and let them know your girl Shanice, she sent you there. Get out there, y'all. The world is beautiful. Go ahead and let them discover it for you.
Shanice, and she's the one. Her name is Shanice, and she's the one.
This big means for the richest black motherfucking gang in the world. My nigga Blue always say, it's only two things a nigga can do for you. He only got time or money. You can't have them both. The nigga with money don't have no time. The nigga with time don't have no money. You only got two choices. So when you look over here or anywhere else, remember, you got two choices. Either want time or money. And we don't got a lot of time around here, because time is money. You feel me?
All right, y'all. So as always, the episode warns us, the story you're about to see is loosely based on truth. Some of the names, characters, businesses, and events have been fictionalized for dramatic purposes. But a lot of this shit may have actually happened. This was a solid episode. We get the opening. Tony Montana was the shit because he came from nothing but knew what he was going. So I learned what to do and what not to do from him. That is from Demetrius Big Meech Flannery. And fun fact, it was also on the docuseries that Scarface was Meech's favorite movie. But as it was all the dope dealers, Scarface was the commercial of drug dealing back in the 80s. It had a big effect on the hustling world. You know, Tony Montana was a poor Cuban who came over here on a Mariana boat when all the Castro sent all them over here on that boat. And, you know, they was over here getting it in Miami. A lot of them actually worked for Griselda and was her hitman. But yeah, this episode was all about Miami and in the 80s during the Cowboy Wars and everything going on. Miami was a ruthless place. Now, this time took place in the 90s when Meech went down there, so it had died down. But in the mid 80s, Miami was Miami. So it opens up with a back in the day scene with Meech and T at the beach in the D. And they're imitating Tony Montana's accent from the movie Scarface. You know, like I said, Dope Boy's favorite movie in the 80s. And The Dream, you know, it was The Dream. Seeing Scarface, he was the commercial of hustling. So, you know, got them talking about visiting the beach in Miami one day. And they could see it in their future. And we see that they brought their dream to fruition. So it jumps into the present day of the show, and the brothers are in Miami and they're talking about meeting up with Francois, the car mechanic. Now, they're going to meet up with him from the introduction of Macatech, that they the boxer that they met in the A. And dude is the real deal, and he only is a referral type businessman, so you got to know somebody to even get an introduction to him. So they plan to meet at Club Fox. And as the brothers are sitting there talking about the plan, then, you know, walks up Sack Chaser Markeisha. She's coming up to Captain Kirk, and Meech is looking hell of annoyed, just like me when I seen her walking up on the show. And it was Meech for me, the way how he looked, like, this bitch, you know. So after she gets her oil down and massage from Terry, they head to the strip club to meet Francois. And the MKs are all in there, and they strap because this is their city. You know, Miami Killers, that's their city. So, of course, they're going to have connections to bring guns in the strip club. So, they see Angel dancing. Terry don't know what the hell going on. He blindsided. Meech know what's going on. But, of course, if he knew, if he would have told T, T would have been paranoid and complaining the whole time there. So, Meech did the smart thing, and they dipped out and had Mac Attack. He dip him dip out too, because for number one, they weren't gonna win that war. They was outnumbered, and the MKs, they was strapped up heavy. So next we see Jen. She shows up at Brian's house, and he is hungover. He has bruised knuckles, and he ends up keeping it real with her when she asks what happens to him. And he basically tells her, like, you know, I have to cut Tyson's water off, and you know, I left him in a strategic spot. Now, at first, she was mad. But, like you said, you the one who said you wanted to keep it transparent. Kevin's under the ground. Why should he be above? So, they end up moving past that, and they plan along to plant a bug on Goro. And this was a good plan on Brian's side, setting up, making it look like Terry or someone in his crew did the hit on Tyson from where he left the body at. Of course, we don't, you know, want any payback on Terry them, but as far as like Bryant coming up with that plan, that was a good plan. So next we go to the 305, Miami, and Markeisha, she's dressed looking like she about to go to the strip club herself and do a dance. And Terry tells her it's not safe because they're on enemy grounds. So, of course, she pouts, she fusses, and as usual, bring up Boom and storms out, you know, pissed off. And I didn't even really get annoyed because this is just Markeisha. The only thing I could say was, Terry, let her go outside. Let her go outside and get her dumb ass shot again. Let her dumb ass get shot again. I promise you, we the audience will not be upset. So, we go into the next scene. And we see Loco call and tell Meech that he's going to have to transport the product back to the A. And of course, Terry's nervous and Meech thinks it's God's timing. And they have one of their mini back and forths and then go to meet up with the mechanic. Even though Mac had to dip out of town, they go there and the mechanic dude, Francois, is pissed off. He like, when he got to the club, they weren't there. That's not how he do business. He already don't want to deal with them. So next up, we see Glock. And Glock and the MKs, they have a home going for their fallen soldier, T'Chaka. And Glock declares revenge. And Angel, you know, she's sitting there playing, you know, she's being a mole. And she hears it all and gets, you know, gets up because she got to go back and inform Meech. But Glock not stupid, so he gets on her trail because he knows that she'll take him directly to his enemy. So next we see Remy. Remy is back in Atlanta. He's talking to his boy and he tells him that word is that, you know, Detroit is in Miami. So that means Pure Weight is coming back to the A. And that's who I honestly, and I kind of put two scenes together because they, both of the scenes was in the car when they was talking about, you know, having to keep it all about Atlanta. And then later on, his boy came back and told him that it was in Miami and, you know, they had heat with the MK. So they pretty much put together, okay, they went down there to cop some work and they'll be back. So I'm thinking in my mind, Remy is the one who put the tip on the Red Dogs to get Meech and them when they got back. So we get into the next scene. And we see Papa Charles. He gets invited to join a gospel tour with the Campbell brothers. And this tour is for 6 weeks. So he is excited. You know, at first he's like, you know, I can't leave my job. But they like, we're going to pay you. You get room, boarding, good food. Then we might, you know, have a residency in, I think they said Tennessee. So, you know, it's a really good opportunity for Charles. And it's like he's actually getting his dream. You know, he's been through a lot. They had to struggle a lot, work a lot. And this is what he actually wanted to do when he was younger. So him and Lucille, they both of their dreams coming back. She getting her dream lover doctor and her rich plan. And now he's getting his little singing career. So, you know, everything is working out for them except their marriage. Now it cuts back to Meech and T, who visit Francois. And Terry is impressed with his place of business. And it looks like an art gallery. And Francois is pissed. He ain't trying to hear it. Terry knows exactly how to handle him when he sees what kind of guy he is. So, you know, he gives him some money and tells him, like, you know what? I got some for you. You're going to like it. And it was a good thing Terry was at this interaction because normally Meech is the one who knows how to maneuver things. But Terry was the one who handled this. Terry actually bossed up this episode. We get into the next scene. And Papa Charles goes home excited to tell Mama Lucille about the tour. And he wants her to go with her. And he like Nicole old enough to take care of herself. And LaWanda can keep an eye on her. But Lucille declines because she wants to stay with the, you know, Dr. Spread and Strip. That's what Papa Charles called him. And she tells him, you know, that she respects, you know, his dream and he should go for it. So we go into the next scene and we see, we go back to Miami. Now we see Angel is getting trailed by the MKs, but she throws them off good because she pulls into like a dance club, one of the strip clubs down there, and gets out like she's going in there to work. And Glock pulls off. So that was a good move on Angel. She moved fast and her head was on the swivel right there. Now in the next scene, Jen goes back undercover with Goro. And puts back on that goddamn blonde wig and plants the bug in her plastic sword, along with taking her undercover to a whole nother level, into deep Omar Epps level, Donnie Brasco level. She went there, didn't she, y'all? But y'all know I don't like staying on Goro for too long, so let's go to the next scene. Next scene, we see Angel. She meets up with Meech on the beach for sex on the beach, and they make love and we see the sunrise and all that good stuff. So we get into, and then when they get together sometime, they have this whole, it'd be like some soap opera shit. But we see you, Angel. You know, you looking out. We'll see how it goes. We go into the next scene. And we see them two go over to Terry and Markeisha's room. And Meech leaves Angel strapped up because he know them MKs is on their ass. And by now they know that Angel is playing both sides. So he leaves their strap. And here we go. Markeisha, unlikable ass. Where my piece at, T? So he gives the bitch a gun. And of course she got a, you know, twist her face up at Angel like she really doing something when she put her little gun. You know what? I wasn't paying Markeisha no attention. Markeisha, you know what? Markeisha at this point, I just know she's going to annoy me. So what she do, I just be sitting at the TV looking at it with a twisted face. How she was looking at Angel is how I'll be looking at her dumb ass. So we get into the next scene. And we go back to Francois. And they win him over. The brothers win him over. They bring him a Porsche. And then the ATL and the Detroit crew rolled in with Astro vans for, you know, all type of shit for him to put the safes in. And I did really enjoy that scene. I loved it how it showed everything just forming together. And then we seen the Detroit crew and the Atlanta crew. I thought that was dope on how they shot that part. So we go into the next scene and we go back to Detroit. We got the good doctor with his smooth Casanova ass. He takes Lucille to an upscale restaurant with the hotel attached and tells her he wants to kiss every part of her body. And then we get to hearing that good Teddy Pendergrass TKO come on, and Lucille and the good doctor, they go upstairs and she get him all hot and bothered just to give this nigga a case of the blue balls. But he tells her that he loves her, and even though she is playing high school games and, you know, getting them hard and running off every 15 minutes, he still will wait patiently. The doctor is a little too patient for me, but hey, you've been waiting since 16, so keep waiting, bruh. Keep hope alive. So she runs out of there like she's on a marathon. Now, we see Papa Charles comes home while she on her date, but by that time, probably running out the goddamn room. And he almost catches Nicole fast ass upstairs with Breeze playing Kissy Kissy Philly Feel. But they play it off cool. Breeze hides. Papa Charles comes up and Nicole, she tells him to give her a minute and, you know, sneaks his ass out the window. And her father go on a father and daughter date. And I really loved it, this scene. I have nothing bad to say about this scene. We always see him, you know, we've seen moments of him and Terry that are beautiful, with him and Meech that are beautiful, but I really, really enjoyed this scene of her just being honest with her father about knowing what she wanted, knowing how she's not going to get treated, and him respecting it, and them dancing. I love this entire scene, and I'm so happy that they showed it. So after we get that beautiful scene, we go to Brian and Jen, and they're listening on a wiretape of Goro. Now we see the chief. He roll in, and he actually was the chief who fired the ass, was suspended Jen and fired Brian. Now he on Blaze payroll. So they learn that Tyson is a dead nigga, and Goro throws a temper tantrum. Blaze tells her stupid ass to stand down, but does the bitch listen? Absolutely not. If she would have listened, she wouldn't be Goro. So Jen and Brian talk about going to Kobe's father for help, because remember, Kobe's father is high up there in politics. And right now, when they heard the chief on the tape, that's what Brian was trying to tell her. Like, Jen, you won't pay back, but this is much deeper than what you think. So now they see on how deep in and how protected Blaze and Goro is. So they know the only how they probably gonna get anything done or any type of justice is going over their head. Because even if they have some people in pocket with the politicians, at the end of the day, the man they're trying to get to, that was his daughter they killed. So he ain't gonna give a fuck about no payroll. So we get into the next scene. And Francois, the mechanic, goes to work. And he is worth every single penny and more. Now they get the combination of how to get the safe. The car must be in park. You got to hit the brake light, washer, and radio at the exact same time. And the Red Dogs won't be finding shit. And we know that this was a big part of their organization. They had them cars on lock with the transportation. So Francois, he's officially an honorary member of the BMF crew for real. He had a big deal with that for them not being busted all those years. So they built a beautiful relationship with him. And I loved on how they brought all of that together. Like they just didn't cram it in. Like they just went to a mechanic and found. I do like how the writers written that whole thing from even going a few episodes back, you know, meeting Mac Attack out at the club and just, you know, having it happen organically and having an introduction happen and them having to go down to Miami. So I do like on how the writers did that and played that out for the introduction of the mechanic. So we get into the next scene and Lucille shows back up at home to tell Charles that he should go on tour and, you know, give his dream a chance. And she basically, you know, tells him, they basically call the marriage off, call it quits, because she loves Dr. Maurice. And Charles, I have to say, Charles handled the news well. He doesn't argue with her. He doesn't start a fight. He doesn't, you know, beg. He just respects her wishes, give her a kiss on the cheek, and he respects it. And I respected that. I respected that. And I respected her honesty, even though it was kind of like a lot of game playing at the same time, too. But, you know, it's not easy to call off a long marriage. You know, this has been your whole life since you've been an adult. And, you know, you guys had kids young, built house together, built a family together. So, you know, it's not easy, but I don't know. It just seemed like it probably should have been. I don't know. They have been together so long, but if you watch the docuseries on BMF, you've seen it was a lot more problems than just infidelity. They didn't even stress infidelity in the documentary. It was more finance issues, and it had a lot to do with a lot of money going to his music career, but they did remain good friends. So we basically just see the end of their marriage, and I liked the way how they did it. They didn't have it where it was just so drastic and having him disrespecting her or having her just doing way too much. I mean, she was a little extra, but it was good for entertainment. But I like the way how they kind of written it and they're keeping them in the show. So after that, we go into the next scene and Terry shows up at the room to a bitchy Markeisha and sends her ungrateful ass back home. And here she go, planting more division, plant seeds in his head, talking about bosses don't drive, they're on loads, and you still listening to me, you're following behind him. And at that point, Terry had just had enough and told her to take her ass home. So he left her in there yelling and crying with that plane ticket. And I'm like, good shit, Terry. You know, the last two episodes, you done really bossed up. But, you know, you don't get too many applause because we know that bitch will be right back next episode getting on our damn nerves. So we go into the next scene. And as Meech and T and Angel are leaving a hotel, the MK show up and we get another stump out scene with Meech stumping Glock out this time. And then, you know, the shootout bust out. Glock gets his dumb ass shot by someone from his own crew, but I don't know if he's dead or not. And Meech and them dip out, but the MKs, they stayed on their trail. Like a goddamn army. Like they weren't playing. And they go round up the crew and dip out along with Francois coming along, who was bonding with Terry. And they finally make it to South Beach after dreaming it since, you know, they were kids, the brothers. So they kind of have a little brotherly moment. Terry tells Meech, you know, he does respect him, and now he finally understands what it's like to, you know, run your own crew, be number one. You know, first he was upset that he left, but now he kind of gets it. So, you know, we always love the brotherly moments, the family moments, shall I say. Not even just the brotherly moments, but the family moments in the show. I think that's what makes it, you know, special as well. And, you know, the world is BMF. So, by this time at the end of the episode, Hoop was in Miami, but he just came to drop off the Porsche. He's back handling business in Detroit. and he's taking out the trash. Looks like it's behind the restaurant. And oh, everybody run. Goro's on the loose. All we hear is Goro and her yelling and then her shooting Hoop. And all I can think is, I hate this bitch. Man, Hoop been around since the 50 Boys. Hoop been around since the goddamn 50 Boys. Hoop was on episode 1. Hoop then held it down. You know, Hoop been that guy. Hoop outlasted Lamar. And he didn't got shot by Goro. Now, if Hoop is dead, I'm going to be pissed the fuck off. But we don't know if he did because he was still shaking and bleeding. So he could still be alive. But if he's dead, I'm going to have even more attitude with Goro. And she's really going to be on my hate list. Because I really hate her for how she pulled that security off Kevin and deliberately had them violate him. That's one of the main reasons I hate her. But Hoop was one of the original 50 Boys and held it down this long. And if he's dead, to lose his life to this Goro chick, it's just too much for me. So we go into the next scene, and BMF makes it back to the A with the Red Dogs waiting on them from an anonymous tip. And my guess is Remy. I don't think Markeisha did it. I don't think anybody else did this. I think this was Remy's car. Remy wants the outsiders out of town. And now I think it's about time for Meech and them to take out Remy. Because when you get the snitching like that, it's time for you to go. So the Red Dogs was being extra as always, busting out windows and shit and impounded the car. But we know Francois did the damn thing with the safe. So it's just the beginning of BMF for this stage, especially for this stage of where they were at in the early 90s and this stage of the show. They've already been picked up for season 4, so we know that the car will be fine. You know, Francois went to go do a lot of work for them, so them Red Dogs ain't finding nothing. So we got to wait for the season finale, and then we can rate on what we thought about this season. I have to say, it did pick up towards the end. Not the greatest. I'm not going to say the greatest, but it definitely picked up. It definitely picked up. So we'll see what season 4 has to bring. So I'm going to play the trailer really quick for the season finale, and then I have a sleeper for you guys. So don't go anywhere. But this was a solid episode. Not too many, you know, complaints, just the Goro and Markeisha being Markeisha. But, you know, at this point, when we see Markeisha, we know what to expect. So, and Goro, well, listen, sorry, we need a new villain. It's time for her to go. I'd rather see her dad being a villain than her. But it was a solid episode. I have to say, I'm impressed with how they picked it up, because the way how the season started, I wasn't feeling it. But this has been my least favorite season since the show started. Season 1 is my fave, but I have to give them credit. They did pick it up along the way for sure. And I can't wait to see what the season finale has to bring. And then we get our Power Book 2 Ghost back that returns June the 7th. So we don't have to wait too much longer. We got May 10th for the season finale, and then about 3 weeks later, we have Ghost, and then that goes on break, and then we have that returning in September, and then I believe we should get Force back next, and then Raising Kanan. I think that's the direction they're going in, but they did just announce that new episodes of Raising Kanan will be released in 2025, so I think we'll get Force before Raising Kanan. And we have some more spinoffs coming as well, because they got the prequel for Ghost and Tommy. I think that's an early production, which I don't know how they're going to do that one, because it's going to cross paths with Raising Kanan. And Raising Kanan has been picked up for 2 seasons. So we know we got a season 4 and season 5 coming. Force, we know we're getting a season 3. And then I have a feeling that they're going to do a spinoff from Power Book 2 Ghost. It might be Effie's. I'm not for sure, but that's who I think they'll give a spinoff to if it's anybody out of the show. But let me play the trailer for next week. Don't go anywhere. Here it is.
All right, so what's your plan? I'm going to end this shit once and for all. Mom and Pop said I should call them to quiz.
Friends?
Forever.
Hello, folks.
I don't know what I'm talking about. Where? I want to play.
Stable.
I'm not a new coach.
All right, so the season finale is called Prime Time. Goro took off her wig. I hope she don't kill Jen, but I won't be surprised, y'all, if she take out Jen. I'm just hoping that we don't see Goro in season 4. Also, we see a shootout between BMF Atlanta and Remy's crew. And we didn't see any funerals or anything going on for Hoop. So I'm going to keep Hope alive and hope that Hoop pulled through. And we see Mama Lucille and Papa Charles call it quits and the family get notified. So I have faith that the season finale will be solid. Let's just wait and see, and let's hope that no leaks come out. Even if they do, I will not be recapping them. I try to support Greenlight Gang. I feel like I'm an honorary member, and I just don't like when people take people hard work and leak it like that. So if any leaks come out, because we know history of the Power Universe, I will not be recapping it until the weekend of the original day is supposed to come out, which is May the 10th. So I will be off from the pod for this week. I'm going to take a week break because I've been doing a lot of recording with all of our BMFs and then just doing all of my book readings. I did a few positive affirmation podcasts. So you can check those out if you ever just in need of an uplifting word. So I'm going to take just a week off. But if you have any recap requests, I'll still get them out next week if you want me to. All you got to do is hit me up. With that being a TV show, movie, or docuseries. I do have a sleeper for you guys. I've been bopping to this all week. I was listening to some old school at the gym. So this was one of my favorite songs back in my middle school days. I don't know if y'all know about this, but I've been rocking this whole damn album. Probably because I kept calling T, Captain Kirk, when it came to Markeisha. So I've been playing this album, but here is my sleeper, Master P, Gangsters Need Love, off that Ghetto Dope album.
Yo, boo, I know I never told you this before, but I might have tried to get my hustle on, but you know what? I just need you to beat up for me, because Gangsters Need Love, too.
Since you came away, I have been down
and
what I'm
telling you,
what I'm
telling you,
what I'm
telling you,
what I'm
telling you,
what I'm telling you, wonder what's the city in me, man. I can't lie. Cause I be hustling with my homies all night, y'all. And I be hustling from the morning to the nightfall. I'm talking kind of hard, trying to stay clean, trying to chase dreams, trying to make it happen. But it's better than what it seems. Now I'm in the room, then you still decide. Brother, run. You hopping on the real. I'm trying to make a deal, but on the real. That's time for them when they came by. I need someone who could be trusted. Take this 100 G in case a nigga like me get busted. You blame it on my mom lifestyle. My thug is for his friends. He telling me my mom lifestyle. Or something to you gotta realize. I ain't trying to be no broke thug. I'm taking a chance right now because he's hard for I'm just trying to take trips to Reno. Cash chips like casino. Them life is a high road. Super shock. I made you like Valentino. I only got one chance, so I gotta take it. If you could just be patient. Diamond is silent 20. Just for waiting. Your mom think I'm a thug. She don't like what you think. Gotta see me. Your friends think I'm giving a thug. This is yellow love. They damn can't see G. Know it range is 4-1. They ain't gotta stop. And when it do, I'll be sitting on top. Gonna be sipping champagne on the yacht. Cars and tennis crazy just to thank me. I'll be home tonight. So keep it tight.
All right, y'all. That was that Master P, Gangsters Need Love 2, featuring Silk the Shocker off that Ghetto D album. Please, please, please tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. Share the book. Please, please, please. We got to get it out there, y'all. I need y'all support on that. Tell anybody who you know about the book on Amazon and the audio version. It's complete now for volume 1. I'm about to get to working on volume 2. That's another reason I'm going to go ahead and just take a week off just to rejuvenate. Since we don't have any recaps coming up, I got to start getting volume 2 edited properly and getting everything going for that so we can get it released on time. But I hope you guys enjoyed the story. I told y'all I put my all into it. So volume 1 is out now. Ebook is on Amazon, paperback, audio is on the podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed this recap. I thought it was a solid episode. I hope I recapped it well for you guys. I'll be back on the weekend of the 10th to do the season finale recap, and then we look forward to Power Book 2 Ghost, and then it should be Force, and then Raising Kanan. My cousin had just brought up, was a Cruel Summer returning? I don't know, but if Cruel Summer comes back, I will recap that this summer. The Godfather of Harlem should be returning soon, so we're going to recap that this year as well. And it was something else that I said I was going to recap. I can't think of it right now. Y'all know we support everything 50 Cent. So whatever 50 Cent doing, we're going to recap that regardless. But just anything else. Oh, Bel Air is returning. So we'll be recapping that as well. So I hope you guys have a beautiful and safe week. Protect your energy. Stay away from anybody who is an enemy to your energy. Remember that you are great and the sky is the limit. And just no matter what, just keep pushing. As long as you wake up and you're blessed with another day, look, recharge, restart, keep pushing. So if you guys need me, just you know how to reach out. You can inbox, DM, or email me, or you can leave a message to me on Spotify. But I love you guys. Thank you for your support as always. And just have a beautiful and safe week and protect that energy. Get out there and have some fun, but be safe. It's your girl, Shanice, and I'm out.
Hope you enjoyed the show with your girl, Shanice.
How you know, man?